And we talked about this earlier this week, and then again last night in the leadership meeting. We have 50 to 60 kids in service this morning. Oh, amen. Amen. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. That's awesome. I want to start off with this. Yesterday was our annual leadership meeting. And yesterday, I'm just going to share this, is that I cut it way down, okay? Our meeting was only 5.5 hours. Isn't that awesome? What you're laughing about, last year was 8.5 hours. Yeah, for real. So yesterday, I just want to say this. We had 31 genuine, dedicated leaders that come together every year to plan a calendar of events, to figure out how we can be the hands and feet of Christ, how we can come together with one heart and one accord and have a mindset of a servitude to be able to serve people who come through these doors. So yesterday, I want you to know that this this committee of people that was put together, that God's been doing stuff with, has been incredible. So let's give them a hand applause, a hand clap of applause this morning. All right. Who wants to hear the word today? Anybody? Amen. The common ground yesterday that we talked about was that when we come together, we want to edify the name of Jesus Christ. We like to have the bells and whistles. We like the singing, the dancing, the miming, and all that stuff. But there's nothing more important than the infallible Word of God for the truth to go forth, because the truth is what sets us free. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, today we got a word for you. Now, I'm going to tell you, I want to jump right into it, because I was sharing with our sound team that I said, I really need to make this a two-part series, okay? But in this, because of what's happened in the next 2 weeks with the messages, I absolutely can't do that. So you're in for a long message in a short time. Are you ready? All right, so we're going to have fun today, and we're going to get through this, and we're going to learn something today, because this is all geared towards the Christmas time. This entire series that we're talking about, last week, we talked about changing our personality so when people look at you, they're looking at Christ. In other words, get you out of the way. And if we can get out of the way, then all of a sudden what happens, God shows up and He shows out. That's what God wants out of us. We had 7-Up service, and we said it should be refreshing, not boring. It should be refreshing, not stagnant. It should be refreshing, and we should be ready to enjoy what God has for us. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
All right, the title of the sermon's an easy one today. As they put it on here, I want you to look at this, and everybody say, uh-oh. Yeah, uh-oh. Now, who does this apply to? When your dream becomes a nightmare. I see a couple hands. I'm going to be honest with you. This is either all of us, it will be all of us, or at some point, it will be all of us. But the truth is that we all have dreams and aspirations to do great things and to do what God created us to do, but somehow, we take a hard right or a hard left, get off of course, before we're brought back on course. So, here's the question I have for you. It's a big one. Why? Today in Matthew, in the first chapter, verses 18 through 25, is where we'll hang our hat at today, but we're going to talk about a man named Joseph, amen? It's Christmas time, right? So we're going to talk about Joseph. We're going to talk about a man who was, when he had all these dreams, but all of a sudden they became a nightmare for him. The question that I want to pose to you today is this: why? Everybody say why. See, all of a sudden, we know that question, don't we? We know the question why. Of all the questions, it is the most searching and the most tormenting question that we can ask. No single truth removes the need to ask why more than these points that I've made for you today as we jump into the Word. Listen to me. Here it is. God is too kind to do anything cruel. Everybody with me? Everybody agree, right? All right. Secondly, God is too wise to make a mistake. Thirdly, God is too deep to need to explain Himself to you and I. Amen? So all of a sudden, we begin to understand that we really don't care what the world says. We don't care what they're saying about Christianity. We know that we've read the final chapter, and we're going to be attacked. We're going to be lied about, beat down, drugged through the muck and the mire. But it's okay, because God has our back. Have you ever experienced that gut-wrenching moment when your dream becomes a nightmare and you find yourself being a starring role in your own play? Anybody? Yeah, a couple of us, right? Most of us. But here's what happened, you know, and we could throw us all in there. We have all experienced it. Have you ever asked the question when you're in that gut-wrenching moment, why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? Some of us today, I want to tell you, are still walking in the why me, Lord. Today, I want to answer that. Today, I want to talk to you about the why in this. Why have you ever asked why as you looked at the shattered remains of the plans and the dreams that you know and are for sure that God called you to? This morning, I want to show you a better alternative to asking why. I want you not to ask why, but when. See, all of a sudden, we'll begin to ask, instead of asking God why, okay, God, when are you going to use me again? I want to point out the witness of this man by the name of Joseph that we're going to share here in Scripture. He saw all his dreams fall into millions of pieces. Everybody say amen. Amen. See, he had some dreams, but they all fell into millions of pieces. And then what happened in his life is worthy of note this morning. It's worthy for us to talk about. It may help you and me when our dreams are shattered and they fall. And they fall often at the foot of the cross. I want to preach this thought this morning. When your dream becomes your nightmare. When your dream becomes your nightmare. Now, I know when I was doing this intro, here's the thing I knew for sure. This is going to impact every single person that's in the sound of my voice. Amen? Because here's the truth. I remember when I had it all going together. I share with you, I was a football star, man. I had everything. I had it all by the world's perspective. But I can tell you, when I started experimenting, everybody say experiment. You know what you were experimenting with today that took you down the wrong road. You know what you did wrong. Ain't nobody got to tell you. The truth is this. God has a conviction inside of you. He has a living spirit. And then when he starts knocking on your door, you know better than that. I don't care if you got to reach across every generational curse that there is. I don't care what you got to do, but God created you individually. And if he created you individually, he expects you individually to seek him out and his will for your life. And once you do that, all of a sudden, all that stuff that's been logged on you and put on you and all the generational curses and everything that's going to drag you through the muck and mire, if you want to go to jail, go to jail. If you want to go to hell, go to hell. But the truth is this, God didn't create you to go to jail or to hell, amen. He created you for greatness, and what we've got to do is get the tags of the world up off of us, and we got to begin to say we want what God has for us. Amen. Go ahead and praise him because he's worthy. When your dream becomes a nightmare, first point in verse 18, everybody still with me? It says this, in verse 18, a shattering discovery. Now, I'm going to relate all this back to us. You know that's how I preach, right? So all of a sudden, you begin to understand Joseph had a shattering discovery. Everybody knows what that was. Let me read the scripture to you. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged or engaged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Everybody say Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Now, some of you around here that might get pregnant out of wedlock and stuff, you can't blame the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can blame a bad spirit because we do things wrong. Everybody say, I've done things wrong. Okay, now as we get this marked down in our spirit and we begin to grab this, all of a sudden we begin to understand something. Joseph had a shattering discovery. He's getting ready to get married. He's engaged. This is a Hebrew engagement, amen. And this is tight, amen. They are really doing what's right. And all of a sudden, what happens when Mary comes, I'm going to paraphrase, says, hey, by the way, we get married, and I'm already pregnant. Oh, that wasn't quite my dream. I thought she was going to remain pure, as the Hebrew vows tell us that we are, that we're going to do what's right, and we're going to save ourselves, and we're going to, everybody got that? This would be kind of shattering to Joseph, wouldn't it? So all of a sudden, he has a shattering discovery. First point in the shattering discovery, it was a time of excitement. As we begin to look at this, Mary and Joseph were engaged. This was an ancient Hebrew engagement period. It was binding as marriage. So when you was engaged in these times, you know how people break off engagements today, right, left and right? Kind of like marriage, right? Right. There's nothing in there that we got to pay attention to this stuff. But listen, in the Hebrew, when you was engaged, you was just as good as married. Amen. You was just as good as married. Surely they were excited about their future together as husband and wife. And then the second point happens. It was a time of excitement. Then it was a time of expectation. So all of you guys know, I don't know, Becca and Anthony's in here somewhere, right here, and they just got married. There's a time of expectation. You have worked hard. You have studied. Then all of a sudden, you start the life together, and you start studying each other, how to become the good husband and wife for each other. But there was a time of expectation. The Bible tells us that these took place, and it says right here in Scripture, before they came together, okay? No kids in here. If you are, plug your ears. This is before they came together sexually, immorally, any other way. What happened was before they came together is what this means is exactly what it says. Everybody with me? All right, we're still going here. They were both counting down the days until they could be together physically, spiritually, and in every way as husband and wife. Third point was the shattering discovery. It was a time of embarrassment. Crazy, isn't it? All of a sudden, the time of your life, you're ready. Listen, have anybody ever experienced that? You had dreams and aspirations. You knew God was going to use you for greatness. You knew when you were going to take the world by storm. You knew that you was going to choose the right guy or the right gal. And you knew you was going to be financially wealthy. You knew that God was going to do something supernaturally for you. You knew that it was all set before you, but you made that one bad decision. Everybody say one. Because you know today, it only takes one, amen? And here's the thing, every one of us in here has got this thing called wisdom. Wisdom comes through failures. Wisdom comes through success. But so often, wisdom comes by the way of failure. We didn't choose to get pregnant out of wedlock. We didn't choose to become drug addicted. We didn't choose to become alcohol addicted. We didn't choose to do whatever we did. But we ended up breech, broke, busted, and disgusted, right? One decision. Church, can I share this with you? Today, we're still only one bad decision away from going the wrong way. So today, what we've got to do is begin to protect ourselves. Listen, it says it was a time of embarrassment. Everybody say embarrassment. Does anybody here like and really enjoy being embarrassed? Megan, come on up front then. Oh, I guess you really don't like it then, all right? Listen, nobody likes to be embarrassed, do they? So all of a sudden, what happens is we do things and say things and act ways, and we embarrass each other all the time. What am I going to do? Go back and say, well, I'm sorry. I was just joking. I didn't mean it. You took it out of context. I said it wrong. That's just the way we are, right? But listen, it says here, during the engagement period or this pledge period, both the bride and the groom were to keep themselves pure. This was a time when they were expected to go into marriage as virgins, just like the word says. Amen? All right, this is a good thing. Joseph discovered that his bride was pregnant. This would have been a source of great embarrassment. Both to Mary, to Joseph, and both sides of the family would have been devastated. Now, we talked about this the other day, not too awful long ago. Some of you old women in here, probably over 35 old women, got any of y'all in here? You know what I'm talking about. See, today, about 35 to 40 years old, if you got pregnant out of wedlock, you weren't allowed in school. Okay, they wouldn't let you because they said, man, if you're going to get pregnant out of wedlock, that's not a good thing for everybody else to say. You used to get out of school, have that baby, then you come back to school because we don't want that contaminated water around here, right? That's the way they treated it. But today, they've decided to make it more socially acceptable, but the Bible still tells us that we are to remain pure until marriage, that we're to save ourselves, right? So I'm trying to paint you a picture here, but listen, it seemed that all the dreams Joseph had for the future had been shattered by that devastating news. Note, I got a big note here. Isn't that just how life is at times? Isn't that just how life is at times? We're plugging along, think we're doing everything right, and all of a sudden, here comes the cancer report. Here comes the heart disease report. Here comes the boss telling you your job's terminated. Here comes the bank telling you you're overdrawn. Here comes your future being wiped out, turned around, messed up by something or someone else. We all make plans for the future, and then something takes place. We see our hopes, our plans, we see our dreams because it become an unexpected and an unwanted place in life that we're placed in by our bad mishaps. Like Joseph, we are often blind. Everybody say blind. Blind. We are often blind to the fact that God is at work. It says in God's word, and I'm going to bring this out, that God works in all things. But I got a challenging message for you today that goes contrary to the way we like to hear things, okay? So I'm going to have you rub your ears here in a little bit and get them warmed up, all right? Because we got to get to the truth of some things here this morning. But listen, like Joseph, we often are blind to the fact that God is working through our trials, amen? And we really can't say that we understand it until we get to the other side of it. We say, man, what in the world was I thinking? Now, God had that all the time. He said, I'm just waiting for you to release it and get out of my way so I can finish what I'm supposed to do so my will can be done, so you get out of the way so God will be glorified, amen? Yeah, we know what that's like. In fact, it was God who shattered the dreams of Joseph. What did you all get quiet for? Ain't nobody amen to that? Amen? Amen? Amen. It was God who shattered the dreams of Joseph. Y'all with me so far? Y'all act like you, oh my God. Guess what? It is God who will often shatter your dreams. Not very popular, is it? Is it true? I'm going to prove it. Think about this. Joseph had dreams. He knew what he wanted to do. He had some embarrassment, had some things begin to happen, but he had to make some choices, and so do we. See, what happens is that when cancer knocks on your door, when heart disease knocks on your door, when financial ruin knocks on your door, when your spouse leaves you, whatever it is, you know, this comes down to this point. We're going to choose to lean into God. We're going to choose to lean away from God. But we're going to do one of two things, amen? I want to talk to you about these trials. It may be hard for us to understand what I just shared with you, but I do want to qualify it. The Bible is clear on the matter that I just shared with you. It says, our God works His will in our lives in ways that we cannot begin to comprehend. He's doing what He wants to do when He wants to do it. And I share some of your stories every day about how God has turned your life around. I have sat with you broken when you've lost loved ones, when you've lost children, when you was divorced, when you was financially ruined. I've watched it just wreak havoc and hell in your lives, real hell. And all of a sudden, I begin to tell you, I'm telling you, I know it's bad, but God is up to something here. We've got to lean into His understanding, not ours. We've got to tell you God's going to do something. And you're looking at me like, yeah, brother, preacher got three eyes, man. What's wrong with him? You know what I'm talking about, right? Because all of a sudden you begin to understand that things are unraveling, and it's not fun when it's unraveling, and when it's you that's being afflicted, all of a sudden it's nothing fun, and it's nothing that you really want to understand. But our God is working His will in our lives. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, familiar scripture. Everybody knows that scripture, right? Listen, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's good, ain't it? You look at this, and all of a sudden, but God, you're supposed to think like I want you to think. God, I got you in my little box, and when I want you to come out, I'll open the lid and let you out. Come on, you can get mad at me. Well, I've seen that dirty look. That's all right. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. See, our ways and our thoughts are not His. Amen. Now, we want to be holy, and we want to do, and we want to please God, but the truth of it is this, is that so often you don't have a clue what He's doing with you. Amen? Now, I'm going to talk about me, because all of a sudden in a leadership meeting yesterday, I had planned, and I threw it out the window when we got started. Because God was taking me as a leader in a new direction, and He was bringing up something brand new, amen. He was giving birth yesterday, and most of us didn't even know it and still don't, but God was doing something He wanted to do. And if we can't get out of the way, well, He can't do what He wants to do. But listen, to finish it, it says in verse 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways. Higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He's got it all under control. Everybody say, it's under control. That's where we're going with this, right? If we can learn to surrender us to Him, all of a sudden things get better. His plans for us are rarely what we would plan for ourselves, right? Let me give you an example. There's so many in the Bible. How about Job? It was Job's plan for all of his kids to be murdered. It was Job's plan for all of his wealth to be wiped out. It was Job's plan for his wife to say, curse God and die. It was Job's plan for his friends to come and ask him, what in the world did you do? Right? It was Job's plan. No, it was not. It was God's plan. Who caused this? Okay, now I ain't got all day to unpack this, but listen, he said, have you considered my servant Job? That's the Lord talking to that no good for rotten, nothing devil, man. He's going over there and say, have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Lorenzo? Have you considered my servant Lauren or Sarah? Or put your name there. Have you considered, God, me? God, are you going to let me go through some trials? And I heard my sister Shannon say a minute ago up there, he said he had never put more on you than you can take. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He said, no matter what you're going through, I'm with you. He said, you might be knocked down, but I'm going to stand you up. You might have been beat down. I'm going to pick you up. He said, you might have been hijacked, but I'm going to put your feet on the rock. And it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. God is going to do what God says He's going to do. Amen? But listen, it goes on to say here, Job's a good example, because what happened was, is all of a sudden God began to ask, the devil began to ask God, have you considered my servant Job? See, the truth is this. I get so sick and tired of everybody giving the devil a whole bunch of glory. He's a punk. Everybody say punk. Okay, if he's in your business, it's time for you to put him out of your business, amen. We sing songs and the Word of God talks about the power that you've been endued with. You are somebody in the body of Christ. You got some spiritual muscles, and every time he comes, you kick his butt before he kicks your butt, amen. But all of a sudden, what Job said, God, I'm going to be pleasing to you. I will not curse God and die. You can take my kids and you can take my wealth. You can do whatever you want, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, amen. And it was all about the attitude of gratitude. But his plans are always the best, even when they hurt, and they hurt us deeply. Amen. His plans, everybody say they're the best. Now I'm going to ask you this for a show of hands, just for me, nobody else look around. Who has been hurt so deeply that you didn't think you'd ever recover from it? Gosh, that's almost all of us. Because that's the truth. We really are. Now listen, I don't got preached no further than John 10:10. The thief, I'm telling you, dirtbag comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We all know that because we've all experienced it. See, the problem is we put a period there. That ain't what God has there in his word. See, it's the word. Everybody say the word. There's a comma, but Christ came so you could have a life and a life of abundance. He came so you could have the good stuff, not the counterfeit, amen. And all of a sudden, we want to sell out for hitting a joint or for taking some dope or smoking something or drinking something or cheating on our spouse. We want to settle for the counterfeit instead of hanging on for the best, amen. We go ahead and settle for the rest and never wait on the best, which is the way he says. Everybody say amen. His plan is always better than ours. Romans 8:28 says this. I think they might put it up there. Is it up there? What's it say? Read it with me. How in the world can we forget that? We know that in all things, God works. Amen? I mean, everybody sitting here in the sound of my voice, the ones that's going to listen to it on radio, TV, whatever, everybody that's plugged into the Word of God, guess what? We know that in all things, God works. How do we know that? Because we have been breached, broke, busted, and disgusted, every one of us at some point. We have been hijacked, left for dead, somebody cheated on us, hurt us, somebody hijacked us and stole from us. But God says, comma, but I came so you could have a life of abundance. Amen. It's time to praise him, isn't it? We'll give him some praise. Amen. Hallelujah. We may not like it when the Lord, everybody say the Lord, shatters our dreams and our hopes. When everything that has been said and done, we will see that his plan was perfect all along. Joseph, his path led him from the place of prominence, amen, in his father's house, through a pit, through Potiphar's house, into prison, through prison, out of prison, and into a place of power. Can you say amen? See, the truth is, no matter where your pit experience is today, it don't matter if you're going to the pit, but go to the pit, through the pit, and come to the place of power where God wants to use you for greatness. Give him a hand clap of praise today. In the end, he would end up in that place of power, and so will we. It would never have happened had God not first shattered his dreams. See, so all of a sudden, we got it all going on. We know what we want, when we want it. Everybody say self. Okay, so whatever you're doing for self today, I'll just guarantee you that at some point it's going to be shattered. Because it's not about self, it's about Christ. And what happens is, he'll let us go as far as we want to go. And just like when you're fishing, right, jerk it back, dig the hook in, right? All of a sudden, he says, hold on a minute, I got something I want you to do. Everybody got quiet. In the end, he gives us the power when he shatters our dreams to stand back up again and do his will. Second point, verse 19. Everybody in verse 19 with me? All right, second point I want to make with you this morning is sobering deliberation. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, or just, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Yeah. This is a tough part. I'm going to try to unpack it. I don't care if I hurt your feelings. It's all right. I do care. But let me tell you something. Sometimes you got to go through some stuff. You hear me? You got to embarrass the devil, or the devil will embarrass you. Can you say amen? See, somebody today, your child's getting hijacked by the devil. They might be 7 years old, 10 years old, 17 years old, but God placed you as a parent, well, not to be their friend, but to tell them, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I called you, and God's called you, and I'm going to raise you in admiration unto the Lord. Right, David? So no matter what happens, whatever the court says, I'm going to do what's right, and I'm going to stand up and be the man of God I'm supposed to be, and I'm not going to let nobody have my kids, and I'm going to stand, and I'm going to fight, and I'm going to get back what God wants me to have, because I am not going to let the devil steal the future of my family. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. So you might be the only one. Amen. You might be the only one fighting, and that's what really happens. Listen, a sobering deliberation, you will make a decision, move to the side of power, which is the word of God, or you'll sit back and let all hell come against you, your family, your friends, your job, and your marriages and everything else, or you'll stand up and say, look, that's for me and my house. And all of a sudden, the power of God will be endued inside of you, and you'll be able to stand up against any scheme that the enemy has. But it's sobering. Listen, first point, Joseph's character is revealed. Let me tell you, in the fire and in the trial, your character will be revealed. Amen? So you know that when you've been in the fire or the trial and you get to it, all of a sudden you're like, boy, that was embarrassing. I should have handled that different. All right? You know what? I remember this with my kids, and I shared this in a meeting the other day. I said, I had a point, my kids could have a generational curse of alcoholism and drug addiction. They could have all the stuff that the world would say, that you're a good man if you can handle all that. But I was firsthand ready to tell them, look, it messed me up. It took me farther than I wanted to go. It kept me longer than I ever intended to stay. And it cost me absolutely more than I ever intended to pay. Do we want that for our kids? Do we want it for our kids? See, the thing is today, you either stand up or the devil will stand up. They'll live on the left side of the comma or the right side. They'll let the devil steal, kill, and destroy, or you'll point them to the other side where there's a comma, but Christ came so you could have a life and a life of abundance. Understand that God's word is prevailing, amen? That God's word will stand against anything that the enemy puts up as a counterfeit. But Joseph's character is revealed in the midst of this most difficult situation. It says Joseph's true self is revealed. We are told that he was a just, everybody say just, a just man. What's a just man? What is a just man? It's a faithful man, a man that holds to the truth, a man who does the law, a man who is above reproach, a man who has integrity, or a woman, amen? So the truth is our example is, as Joseph said, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happening to my dreams, I don't like it, I can't stand it, but I'm going to lean into God's understanding, and no matter what's happening, I know one thing, when I begin to call, and I begin to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when all of a sudden I can't take no more, and I begin in the darkest hour to reach out, it says he's there to receive you, to pick you up, to place your feet on a rock. You know what it's like. You're the one that's been incarcerated, locked up. You're the one of us that drunk and overdosed and everything else that is pronouncing you dead. You've been shot and stabbed and beat down, but all of a sudden God said your Redeemer lives. He reaches down into your muck and mire that you created. He picks you up and he sets your feet up on a solid rock. Yes. Yes, amen. He walked. It says Joseph, he walked. Everybody say walked. It says he walked by faith, amen. He was a man of God before these events, and when this all happened, it showed that his heart was a man after God, amen. It came to the surface in his trial. Listen, the times when life goes wrong from our perspective is the time when we can see who we really, truly are. See, it's easy for us to cower away. It's easy for us not to stand up against the devil. It's easy for us to be like most of the Christians in the world today. It's easy for us to not have faith to move the mountain. It's easy for us to take the easy path. It's easy for us to take a right or take a left or just say, let my kids go to hell. It's easy to take the wrong way, but let me tell you something, church. We've got to choose the hard right over the easy wrong, amen. We've got to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It will cost us something, and we are willing to pay the price. Hallelujah. Amen. What we are in the worst of times is what we really are, amen. So in the very worst of times is what we really are in our hearts. Can you say amen? Or we could probably say, oh, me. And I was sharing Job with you, and I'm going to take you back to Job. In Job chapter 1, verse 8, listen, I want everybody to get this. What we are in the very worst of times. Everybody say worst. Worst. When you're under the biggest attack, when it's going crazy and everything's falling apart, it says, out of the heart, the mouth speaks, amen? You say, I didn't mean that. Yeah, you did. Amen. What happens is your filter got bypassed, amen. You put a filter on your mouth, and you say, hey, how you doing, brother, sister, how you doing? You walk away and say, I can't stand that dude, man. See, the filter got bypassed because all of a sudden you tell them to the face, I can't stand you. The heart speaks through the mouth. Amen? People, you like his good teaching, don't you? Yeah, see, your filter gets you in trouble. My wife says, I don't have no filter sometimes, all right? All right, but listen, in Job chapter 1, verse 8, talking about Job here again. Listen, a great example. It says, then the Lord said to Satan, I'm looking for somebody I want to destroy. I want to attack. I want to tear them up. I want to kill them. You know, if you can see in the spiritual realm right now, that's exactly what you're going through. The devil's saying, Randy and Sherry Green, I might not be able to get to you, but let me go after your daughter for a little bit, and then your son, and then your grandson, and let me see what I can do. And so what did they do? He said, man, I don't know what's going on in that spiritual realm. I know this, I don't fight flesh and blood, but I fight powers and principalities, spiritual witness, demonic plague, and darkness. I begin to come against that devil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he has to shut up and leave. Amen. He has to leave, then all of a sudden their daughter gets saved, and their grandson's in love with the Lord. All of a sudden you see their son coming to back to the Lord, and coming. All of a sudden things begin to work out when you just do your part. But if you're all right with your family living on the wrong side of the comma, amen, you can leave them over there, and the devil will devastate them. You everybody with me? All right, well, okay, listen, it says, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? This is a question. Have we got any Jobs in here? You got any Jobs in here? Don't be afraid. Raise your hand up. Let me tell you, all you guys, keep your hand up, Job. Listen, this is who a Job is. I don't want to do it. Don't want to do it. Ain't going to do it. But God, if you tell me to do it, I'm going to do it. That's a Job. All right, and when I'm in it and when I'm doing it and when I'm going through it, God, I can't do nothing but praise your holy name. That's a Job. A Job is the one that says, no matter what my wife says, no matter what my friends say, whatever's the most popular, whatever you take away from me, whatever you do, God, here am I, and I will praise your holy name. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, anyone can rejoice when life is good, can't they? Anyone can. It takes a consecrated life to the Lord to shout when life is falling apart. And I always tell you, there's nothing. And I got so many good examples set inside this church, but two of the greatest veterans in here that I've seen go through hell and back and never phase and never waver either way is sitting right here. Miss Juanita Trussell and Giza Eimer and Brenda Bowen. I can keep getting. I've seen them go through the trials of life. I've watched them fight the fight. I've watched them go, and they're steadfast and immovable, and that ship is rocking everywhere around them, trying to throw them off, and it is keep on praising the Lord. No matter what happens, no matter what the enemy says, they say, I know that I got a God that's before me, and if God's before me, who can be against me? Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. How you respond to God, toward God in a time of crisis reveals the depth of your commitment to God. How you respond to God in the middle of a crisis, it shows the depth of love that we have in commitment to Christ. So if you're not responding right, we need to take it deeper. Everybody say deeper. Deeper. All right, listen now. Secondly, Joseph said this. First part was this. It was a sobering deliberation. Joseph's character is revealed. And secondly, Joseph's choices are revealed. Everybody still with me? I got to kick this into high gear. When it all boils down to the bottom line, Joseph had three choices and so did we. His choices are different. Listen, here's his three choices. He can't publicly humiliate Mary, okay, which he had every right to do if he wanted to do it, okay, because of what he perceives to be her immorality. Excuse me, the choice could possibly lead her to her death because of the law. Second point is this, is that the second point, he can divorce her quietly and just walk away from her, leaving her to raise the child in shame and poverty. That's what's wrong with the homes today. Cowards are walking away from their responsibility. You hear me shouting, amen? God did not call us to produce kids. God called us to father kids, amen? He called us to be the head and not the tail. He called us to lead and not give in. God called us to be men of God, men of valor, and men of integrity. God called us to go forward and not backwards. Can you give him a hand clap of praise today? And then his third choice, he could marry her and raise the child as if it was his own. The last option would rarely have been chosen by the Jewish man for sure. To Joseph, none of the choices seemed very appealing, but he had to choose one of them just like us. Today you'll choose whether you'll do something that'll hurt somebody else. You'll choose something that will cause devastation and go across generational curses and cause generational curses, or you'll say, God, here am I, just use me. See, what happens is we'll get us out of the way. Amen? Often life presents us with choices that are less than appealing. Amen. And I know all about those just like you. Our duty to those times is to listen to the voice of God. Seek what God wants out of us. The third point, Joseph's compassion is revealed. Joseph's compassion is revealed. Joseph's decision is to react towards Mary with compassion. Man, got quiet in here, didn't it? We talked about this yesterday in leadership. It's about humiliation. Not being humiliated, but being humble. It's talking about being compassionate for people. Who cares if they give you thanks back? Who cares if they treat you like you're treating them? Who cares if you keep giving to them and they keep acting like an old prune face? Who cares if they want to act like that's on them, not you? And we talked about this, right? We got to do what God's called us to do. And don't worry about what everybody else is doing. Do what God called you to do. Can you say amen? Amen. This was not an easy decision for Joseph. He wanted to do what was right. He wanted to do what was in the best interest of Mary. Instead of making a public example that she had been unfaithful, as he thought, he wants to do what the right thing was. And he says this. He says, I want to do what's right. I want to do what's right. This says a lot about Joseph, don't it? The truth is this, no matter what's stacked against you, no matter if you got a husband that's mouthy and rude and everything else, or if you got a woman that's whatever, you know, the truth is that when you commit, you're saying, I'm signing up for the long run, amen? Yeah. And when you have children, you say, you know what, we're going to go through some stuff, but at the end of it, our kids are going to be better, amen? That's what it's about the commitment. As I have already said, how we respond in the time of crisis reveals a great deal about the depth of our walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So don't get mad. Get deeper. Amen. It says how we respond to those who have hurt us. Everybody say, uh-oh. This is the part I told you you're going to get mad at me. How you respond to the people who have hurt you, your kids, your family, your person, your ministry, your finances, whatever, as an indicator of the depth of our spiritual walk. You hear me? If someone's hurt you, man, and you can't forgive them, you're in bondage to them. You understand me? Because the truth is that, yeah, they hurt you, and you can't do it with lip service. You got to do it with heart service, because remember how the heart, the mouth speaks. So we got to seek God and say, God, you know what? I need to be healed. It doesn't matter what they did, God. I can't change them, but I can change me. Lord, I'm going to serve you. You do what you got to do, Lord. Here am I. We need to deal with those around us who hurt us with compassion. In Ephesians, Jesus says it this way. In writing in Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Here goes the excuses out the door again. Just as in Christ God, he forgave us. See, what happened was we did not deserve. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? We did not deserve to be forgiven. Amen. You know, so you think about who you can't forgive today. And when you lay that down at the altar once and for all, you're going to be, it's liberating. Man, I tell you firsthand, it's freeing. So whoever's holding on to you today, whoever's got the noose around your neck, you say, I'm just mad at them. I ain't forgiving them. Bible also says if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. All right? Everybody still with me? Let me jump on to the next point, verse 20 and 23, a satisfying declaration. I didn't mean to preach you all to sleep. Everybody awake? Yeah. All right, we're talking about Joseph. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to make Mary home, to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, God's given birth to something inside of you today, too. You going to take it home with you? Amen. You going to fight it and kick and everything else, or are you going to give in and say, okay, God, go ahead and use me. He's given birth to us. Verse 21 says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, amen, because he will save his people from their sins. Verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord has said through the prophet. In verse 23, the virgin will conceive and give birth to the son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us, amen. The Lord. Yes, this is what I'm talking about. Now, this right here is a Christmas celebration, ain't it? This is what we're talking about. We have hope. It says, the Lord did not send Joseph to, let me read this, make sure I got my note right. The Lord did not, everybody said did not. He did not send Joseph the answer for direction that he was looking for until after he reached the decision on his own. So see, sometimes what you got to quit doing is wait for God to show up in your mess. You got to quit waiting for God to knock on your door and send you an email. You got to quit waiting for God to give you a text, and you got to go ahead and you got to start seeking God for his will. And all of a sudden what happens is God shows up in the middle of your desire, amen? God shows up in the middle of our brokenness. God shows up when we're the most hopeless. God shows up when we can't do it, he can. Yeah, amen. The Lord will allow us to exhaust all of our human reasoning and everything that we have until we come to the end of ourself, and then we rely on him. So a satisfying declaration in verse 20, it says it was a declaration of divine providence. As these thoughts troubled the mind of Joseph, the Lord sent an angel to speak to him in a dream. Somebody asked this question before. Has God ever spoke to you in a dream? Has he? Yeah, God will speak to you in your dreams, amen. And you wake up, and it might scare you, it might be excited. Somebody, Lauren told me today, she said, man, I had the most awesome dream last night. And I said, oh, you did? She said, yeah, it was about you. And I said, oh, it was a nightmare. And she said, you was up there preaching. She said, there was like angelic beings and wings behind you. And she said, the more you preach, the more the people will come. And it just kept coming. I said, I want to tell you, somebody prophetically spoke that over me and over my wife 8 years ago and said, when you guys start on that church, it's going to be like a wave. Then it's going to keep coming. And it's going to keep coming. It's going to keep coming. Don't be discouraged because the discourager's coming. But on the comma side, all of a sudden, God is going to pour out his spirit, amen. And everybody is breached, broke, busted, and disgusted. And everybody who's going the wrong way, God's going to start dragging them and pulling them into a church that's going to allow them to be loved by Christ. Amen? We know what we're talking about, right? It says the angel brought Joseph a word of explanation, exultation, and exhilaration. Amen? Joseph was made to understand the origin of the child and the baby that his Mary was carrying. There was a purpose there. A Savior was about to be born. His dream turned to a nightmare. But it was really a miraculous work of God. It was really a miraculous work of God. Think about that. Your nightmare? How many of us in here have been divorced? Come on, your pastor's been divorced. It's okay. Raise your hand way up. Get them up. Okay, now put them down. Now, how many of you that's been divorced have been remarried? Okay, is it a miracle? Did God bless you 10 times for the trouble? Well, I guess nobody will answer. He did me. Everybody else, I ain't saying nothing, man. I ain't saying nothing. It might bless you, Pastor, but I didn't get blessed. I married way up, amen. So the truth was this, what the devil intended for bad, what he intended to wipe me out with, what he intended for me to blow my brains out with, what he intended me to quit on my kids with, what he attempted, everything he attempted, God's, I found God through all that, amen. And all of a sudden, I become to understand, I don't care if she cheated on me and went away. I can't help that. That's done. It's over with. That's the way it goes. But as for me and my house, I found him, and I'm going to serve him, amen. And all of a sudden, God says, when I begin to lean into not my understanding, but his understanding, and I said, God, whatever you want, when I became content, God says, I'm going to bless you. You hear me? So if you're going through a trial today, just go ahead and lean not under your understanding, but the understanding of the Lord into his word, and he is about to bless you. Amen. All right, second point here, verse 21, it was a declaration of divine provision. Joseph is given the details on a miracle that much of the world still hasn't grasped today. You hear me? I'm telling you, listen, God entered the world through the womb of a Jewish virgin, and all of a sudden Joseph is told that Mary will have a son. This son will be named Jesus, and he is told this son will be the Savior of the universe, amen, the Savior of the Jews. Joseph is made aware of this child, and this child is no ordinary baby. He is, in fact, the son of a living God. Hallelujah! So from a nightmare, amen, that was a nightmare for Joseph, remember? But all of a sudden, God began to bless him through that nightmare that he thought it was. God was doing something brand new. Just because, listen, I'm telling you, just because we're going through something, don't think God ain't taking you to something. He's about to bless you. And listen, his name will reflect exactly who he is. Jehovah is salvation. Amen. Jehovah is salvation. Without him, we have nothing. And listen, I got a note here I want to share with you. This is kind of a point that I said, man, I got to nail this down. May we never forget that it is from the wreckage of our greatest hurts that God often builds us to the greatest blessing. You hear me? Is it okay if I repeat it again? I want you to hear this. Listen, now it says, may we never forget that it is from the wreckage of our greatest hurts that God often builds for us the greatest of blessings. So no matter what you're going through, no matter the hurt and the pain, the loneliness and everything that comes with it, no matter what you're going with, God is working something supernatural for you. He's going to take your super and put his natural on it. Or I got it backwards. He's going to take your natural and put his super on it. I want to see who's paying attention. Only one was Lauren. All right, so just because the way that we're standing in front of today might be dark, there might be darkness in front of you today. You might be walking through darkness today, but guess what? God is light, and he knows what he's doing. It says he will never forsake you, as Shannon shared earlier. Listen, in Psalms chapter 23, verse 4, it says this, right? Listen to the psalm. It says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So no matter what you're going through today, no matter what your loved ones are going through today, it doesn't matter. It might be all kinds of turmoil right now, but God's got you back. You can count on that. Amen? Amen. Give him. Go ahead and clap for him. He's worthy. The satisfying declaration, third point, verses 22 and 23. I'm getting close to closing. It was a declaration of divine presentation. Joseph is shown that the child that Mary was carrying in her womb is none other than the deliverer whom the world has waited on since the man sinned in the Garden of Eden all the way back in Genesis. Amen. This baby is to be a fulfillment of all prophecies of the Old Testament. He is to be the end of the law, the fulfillment of prophecy, and far more than that, he is to be God in human flesh. Joseph is allowed to see that his hurt, everybody say hurt.
Hurt.
His anger, everybody say anger.
Anger.
His confusion, everybody say confusion. Confusion. Were necessary to bring about the greatest miracle that the world has ever known. So when you look at the things that you thought was going to check you out, God knew what he was doing. John chapter 1, verse 1 says this, the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Your dreams were shattered. Your dreams will be shattered. Your plans are derailed, and your hopes will get destroyed often. Remember that while it may look bleak from our own perspective, God is working out his perfect and pleasing will for your life and for mine. We got to walk with confidential. We got to be confidential in anything we go through, right? But we got to be confident that God has got our back and he'll take us through it. You see, while we are toiling here on this earth and we're just going through this earth and we know our life's but a vapor, he has already gone into our tomorrow. He's arranged our path, supplied our need, and lifted our burdens before we ever get to him. We just need to just walk in Christ to arrive at where he's taking us to. The question needs to be answered. Can God meet your needs? And the answer is yes. Instead of asking why, we need to begin to ask God when. God, when do you want to use me? We need to say, God, we are Job's, and we will go through the trials willingly or unwillingly, but we will go through trials. The last point I want to make in verse 24 and 25 in closing is a shocking decision. When we look at this, we begin to understand the character and how the heart of the mouth speaks. We begin to understand what a lot of us probably would do. And I know that's going through your mind right now. Some of you's thinking right here today, man, I got some people to forgive. I got to let some of this stuff go. I've got to be able to move to the other side of the blessing. But a shocking decision. First one, Joseph's quick reaction. As soon as Joseph understands what is happening in his life, he reacts in faith. Remember the three women? I just picked three of them out there on you just now. As I watched Giza, and I watched Brenda, I watched Juanita go through trials that would shake them to the very core of their faith. Okay, it's going to shake you. Okay, but at the same time, they didn't turn away, they turned to. They turned to their faith in Christ. They went ahead and said, God, I don't know. God, this hurts. God, I need. And God says, yeah, I know, and I'm your comforter. I said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And at that time, that's all you have is God. Amen. Amen. Most of us has been through those trials. Some of us has been through more. Some of us have been through harder trials. But the truth is, they didn't kill us. They didn't overcome us. We overcome the trials because of Christ. Amen. It says Joseph had a quick reaction. He knew he needed to do something, and it had to change. Joseph's decision must have shocked the whole community. Can you imagine in that Jewish setting, amen, that he's going to take a woman who, by their standards, may be deserving of death because she's pregnant out of wedlock, and he says, I'm going to marry that woman anyway. You know, of course, God had to go show him some stuff in a dream, didn't he? So sometimes I'm just telling you that God might be showing you some stuff, too. The truth is, are you going to listen? Amen. That's where Joseph, he was willing to listen. Joseph's decision must have shocked that whole community. Everybody probably assumed that he was choosing a woman that he shouldn't be choosing. He was willing to bear the shame of Mary's pregnancy because he knew it was the work of God. You hear me? Today you might need to bear the embarrassment of somebody else because you want to see the true work of God. True faith does not shrink back from the call of God just because others do not understand. True faith will walk right through the fire with people. True faith will hold your hands and praise God when you can't even hold your head up. Secondly, Joseph's qualified restraint. Joseph may have taken Mary into his home, but he refrains from having sexual relations with her. He refrains from it. He says he respects the plan of God. You hear me? He respects the plan of God. It's not, I'm going to go somewhere with this. He respects the plan of God, knows that she is to be a virgin when Jesus is born. This, too, is a response of faith. Instead of demanding what you think is rightfully yours, everybody say, uh-oh. Instead of demanding what's rightfully you, that's my wife, I married her, I get to have sex with her, right? And he said, no, she's going to be a virgin until Jesus is born. See, he respected that. All of a sudden, he had qualified restraint. Okay, Lord, your will be done, not mine. You hear me, church? Your will be done, not mine. Well, this is what he did. He willingly lay aside his rights for God's rights so that the will of God might be accomplished. Can you lay aside your rights, what you deserve, so God can use you? Again, back to Job. Have you considered my servant Job? Can we get us out of the way so God can work? True faith willingly puts aside its own desires to do the will of God. Faith doesn't seek an easier road. Faith says, here am I, Lord, use me. Third point, Joseph's quiet resolve. Joseph waited patiently until Mary gave birth to her son. No doubt Joseph cared for the expectant mother as what was best for her. And when the time came, the baby was born. Job got to name the baby just like he was supposed to. And remember, the baby's name was Jesus. Amen. And here's what it was. The father had a responsibility, and that was to name the baby. That's why God put him there, was to name that baby. And then he blessed him after. Joseph is saying that he is willing to embrace the plan of God for his life, even though he doesn't fully understand it. You hear me? Are you willing to embrace God's call in your life, even if you don't fully understand it? Listen, I can agree with you. I had my life all planned out, and you know Mary and Joseph had their life all planned out too. But God seemed different, that he wanted to send the Savior of the universe through that virgin birth, amen? See, all of a sudden we can understand that we have plans, and the plans often fail us. All my plans, dreams are shattered, but the Lord showed me that he had a better plan for my life than I could ever figure out. He called me to be, and this is what Joseph said, he called me to be the surrogate father for the Messiah, the Savior of the universe. His nightmare, his dream became a nightmare, then it became a blessing. I'm telling you today, what God hasn't kept you from, he's going to keep you through. Today, as the praise and worship team comes up, I want our focus to be back here, right here. Right, I want to focus on, come on up, praise and worship. I want to focus on this. I want to really focus on this one thing as we enter, because the next two messages are going to be kind of like, we're talking about Christmas messages. I'm not going to give you the same old normal Christmas message. I want to give you something that you can dig. Something that's about you. Joseph, just like you and I. Joseph had all the dreams, all the aspirations. He wanted to do everything right. He was going to do something great, but all of a sudden embarrassment comes, shame comes. All this stuff comes, and you got to make a decision. Am I going to choose to do right, or am I going to choose to do wrong? Am I going to go forward, or am I going to go backwards? Okay, we got to make those decisions. And all of a sudden, you see God begin to use you in your decisions. I think the difference between those who experience God's best in the tragedies of life and those who do not comes down to the simple faith that God puts in us. Amen? If you stand all over the house this morning, that's what we're asking you to have, is simple faith. The Bible is extremely clear that we need to have simple faith. What is simple faith? It's believing that God is who he says he is, and he'll do what he says he'll do, that he'll never leave us, never forsake us, that he says, I'm always with you, through the good times and the bad. Have you ever had a dream turn into a nightmare in here? Anybody? Amen. Some of us might be living in our nightmare right now, or we're going to be headed that way, but before your very eyes it will happen. We all have at one time or another had a dream turn into a nightmare. Most of us will face this again and again before we get off this earth. And I just want to ask you this question. When your dreams turn into nightmares, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Not where or why, but what? Okay, what are you going to do about it? Some people try to fix themselves and it don't work, amen? Some people just quit and they walk away and they never come back to the Lord, and that doesn't work either, friends. Still others become angry at God, and they treat other people less than or mean to people. And we always say mean people stink, amen. But the truth is that probably wounded, hurt people is why they're mean. That attitude is not good at all. The only person you really hurt is yourself. When you begin to push everybody else away because of the pain that you are incurring upon yourself and refusing to give to Christ, all of a sudden you become unhealthy for you and everybody that's around you. Of course, there are a precious few, like I shared with you a minute ago, who are able to take those pieces of their broken dreams and lay them at the feet of the Lord. What kind of person are you this morning? What kind of person are you? Today, many of us in here have shattered dreams, but many of us have been restored. So the truth is this, if you're going through some lack right now today, God is not a God of lack. He wants to fix whatever's wrong. But what he needs you to do is completely, fully surrender to him. Still others become angry and still others have attitudes, but God is looking for you to surrender your attitude and your anger to him. We invite you this morning to come on up here. He does have something better for you, planned out for you in your life. As we open up the altar this morning, we want you to just come just like you are, and people will pray for you. But if you've lived those nightmares, if you're in that nightmare, and if you're just not sure, come and let God deal with you, amen? Let him love on you, because God is love, amen? The altar's open. You come as you see fit.